Hi. So today, this lesson is about the energy of love in connection with how you go through the cycles of life. So first of all, we live inside a simulation. So this planet is an environment that is designed specifically for our learning. And I know that you know that, okay, the material reality, that's sort of one plane of existence, and then there are other planes of existence that are not physical. So if we put it all together, we understand that that is a simulated environment as a game within which we are meant to play in order to learn. So this is the part that quite often gets lost in translation, because a lot of times when we enter the game, it's not that much fun as it looked like something that we saw outside of the game. So when you are incarnate, you have a body. The body experiences reality differently than when you're looking from the outside of the game and you don't have a body yet. So, let's say, as a soul that's incarnating into the simulation, you are within the Earth realm. Let's say you're an Earthling soul. You're looking at the plan for your lifetime and what you're going to be learning. You're setting up all the parameters and the lessons. And if you have some karmic patterns, you're going to bring them to finish up those unfinished lessons. Everything is awesome. You're excited. When you come into a lifetime, you would forget the plan. That's kind of the whole point of how we learn. If we remembered everything all the time, a lot of learning could not actually happen. So part of the learning that we are experiencing here is actually by the fact of us not fully remembering what is going on. It's very rare when we do. So there are some exceptions, you know, people who have the access to being able to read, let's say, what is going on and what is your contract, like me, for example, and there are others like this, obviously. But majority of human beings do not remember when they incarnate. And the lessons are not always as fun when we're inside the lessons. From the outside, when we plan them, they might have looked like a really, really cool idea, something that would be really fun to experience. Or we were feeling very brave and courageous and like, yes, I'm going to bring this karmic pattern and face it and deal with it. And I'm even going to give myself for support this person and that person. But when we are inside the incarnation, we forget about this person and that person, or we miss the messages a lot of times because the pain takes over. So even if you're like, if we're talking about the long term, like let's say you're a starseed soul, not from this planet, and let's say you're incarnating on Earth, and let's say it's your first time ever, why would you come to Earth? You'd come to Earth partially because of the duality that exists here. The two opposites here are very far apart. So that creates a lot of tension, and that is a potential for creativity. So for most souls that are not from here, that they're thinking to incarnate here, this is partially because of this duality and potential for creative expression of uniqueness, of individuality. Individuality on this planet is pretty extreme. Like you can, if you fully embody your inner authority, your sovereignty, and you are loving to yourself, you can be incredible master here that is individual. So that is a very rare opportunity. So a lot of souls go for that. Plus, you know, being supportive of the Earthling soul group process of moving through their inner darkness into the light, you know, their own ascension process. And we come to contribute to that. So that's a secondary mission. But the first mission is always about something with the self. So now we just looked at two sort of ways. The Earthling soul that is within the simulation on the outside of life that then incarnates into the simulation. And the starseed soul that is outside a simulation of this planet altogether, and then comes here and chooses to incarnate and have a body. Either way, the internal workings are very similar. From the outside, it all looks fun, good, and super interesting and exciting and possible. Like you're feeling courageous and possibilities are all apparent. When we come here on the inside of the simulation, it's very hard sometimes to remember the possibilities because we get so fixated on whatever we were conditioned to believe or see as reality based on the karmic patterns and the conditioning and imprinting we had throughout our lifetime. So this is what brings us to the topic of love through the cycles. So everything on this planet goes through cycles. This entire simulation works cyclically. Not only that we have cycles as in, you know, the summer, winter, you know, fall, spring, like we have all those seasonal cycles, but we have cycles like in the ocean, cycles in the wind patterns. So we have a planetary weather cycles because of the actual location of the globe. But we also have inner cycles. Those are the emotional waves that you experience when something is really exciting and you're encouraged and hopeful, and then it crashes down and now you feel miserable and discouraged and, you know, sort of not happy. And then it goes back up into an inspiring wave. So our job is to love ourselves through our cycles. And everybody has different cycles. Some people go up and down all the time, but it's not a very dramatic up and down. They kind of like their mood changes from like, oh, I'm happy, like, oh, I'm not really happy. Oh, I'm happy, oh, I'm frustrated. Some people have huge cycles, more dramatic artist type of people, that creative expression people. They usually have some sort of a very obvious talent that is expressed, like it could be a musician or an artist in a, like, in a literal sense, like they're painting something or something like that. Or somebody who's an actor or actress, let's say. So they would have huge cycles when the energy goes really up, like this internal uplift, and then really crashes down. And some people literally get suicidal at those down cycles. So then there are cycles that kind of a long waves like that, when it's sort of okay, and then it's sort of depressing for a while, then it's sort of okay, and it's sort of depressing for a while. And that while could be 2-3 years at the time or longer. And then there are cycles when we get stuck, which is when we overfocus on the negative part of the wave. So we all have our normal cycles, whatever part of your soul design that is, you know, natural to you. But then we also kind of keep ourselves in the lower part of the cycle if we forget to love ourselves there. So what that looks like is, let's say you're going your up cycle, everything is great, you're inspired and excited. Then you're crashing down. That might be part of your normal cycle. You're supposed to go down and clean up your own darkness to go back up again. But if you love yourself through that cycle, then the cycle is short term, and then you move back out. If, on another hand, you forget to love yourself through that cycle and instead go into judgment, into pain, and the pain becomes your experience, you forget that this is a simulation and this is part of your learning, and it begins to seem to you like this is what reality actually is. That's kind of like going into the basement and forgetting that there is a whole building on top of you. Like completely forgetting it even exists. And instead just thinking, well, this basement, that's all I got. There's no windows, I'm underground, and that's just that. So of course, that's not how actually reality is. But if we make our reality that for the time being of the lower part of the wave, then we get stuck. And that stuckness means we prolong the lower part of the wave. Eventually it will still switch, but that shift, we might resist. You know, but that's where the lower self almost like wants to keep us miserable. I know it sounds kind of strange, like why would you want to keep yourself miserable, right? But a lot of times we actually do, because when we are so committed instead of self-love to either self-hatred or self-minimizing or self-judgment, then as soon as we start to feel better, it almost feels like we're betraying our own pain and suffering and whatever else that we build that defense on. So then the lower self fights for existence of itself. And that prevents us from switching to a positive side of the wave. So one of the biggest misconceptions here is that it's always supposed to be just the positive. As if there is no wave. That is not true. There is no human being who just have positive. It literally does not exist. You can be a Buddha or Jesus and you're still gonna have the lower part of the wave. So when you have the up and down though, somebody who is masterful is able to keep their baseline high enough and stay loving through the darker times. And because of this internal commitment to the energy of self-love, they are able to not get stuck in the lower parts of the wave. Okay, so this is the main lesson for today and for this month for you, is to understand that when you're in the lower part of your emotional wave, first of all, it doesn't mean anything other than that. It's just part of the learning process on this planet, in this simulation. And second, look at what are you committed to? Are you committed to self-love no matter what? Or are you committed to self-judgment, self-hatred, self-minimizing, and other things, your pain essentially, no matter what? This is a really, really important piece, because a lot of times our commitment gets kind of mistranslated in our childhood years, and then we become committed to the wrong thing. Like, let's say, being committed to self-protection. That's a problem, because we're meant to live undefended, which means open with a healthy boundary. So if you're committed, let's say, to being protected, now you're committed to essentially using a lot of energy incorrectly. You're wasting a lot of energy on a defense, and you're expecting the danger to come from the outside to you. That expectation becomes a negative energy broadcast, which then attracts danger to you to prove to you that you were correct to create the potential protection from potential danger. So we create our reality by our own expectations. So that's another good thing for you to look at. What are you expecting from life, from people around you, from strangers even? Are you expecting danger? Are you expecting being hurt? Are you expecting being tricked and constantly on the lookout? You know, who's telling me the not truth here? Where is the lie? Where is the trick? Are you expecting that generally people are good? And, you know, sometimes if they do something off, it's just because they're young or didn't quite get the consciousness piece yet, or they're in a different stage of development than you, but most of the time not because they actually meant to hurt you. Most of the time, people don't mean to create a negative experience for us. They definitely do, plenty of times. But most of the time, it's not because they actually intended to do so. Like, if they had a conscious awareness and realized what happened, they kind of be appalled. And they would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want you to think it that way. Or, well, I just meant this, but not that. That's because they are speaking through the filter of their own issues, of their own pain and hurt. Somebody's offhand comment might hurt your feelings a lot if you take it literally. But if you realize that offhand comment was something about that person just discharging their, you know, junk essentially over their field, and yes, that's not a good thing to do because they're just not conscious and they're not handling it correctly. But nevertheless, it's not intentional against you. And then the reason that your system perceives it as pain or insult or danger is because of your filter taking it this way, not because it actually is so. So to summarize everything I just said, commitment to self-love is where we want to park ourselves. No matter what happens in your life, going up, going down in your emotions, no matter what externally is being reflected to you, it's still, can you love yourself through that? Can you stand by you? Not protect yourself, not defend yourself, not be this somebody who's like, I'm never going to let my inner kid get hurt again, so I'm going to go and like fight everybody. That's not actually beneficial. That's not being a spiritual adult. That's still being essentially an older sibling to the hurt one, but not a grown-up. Being a grown-up means that you know this is safe. You know that this is all love, and this simulation is essentially an environment for us to learn through variations of that love. And some of them are variations in the completely opposite, so it becomes hatred. But it's still overall the same universal kind of neutral, unconditional love energy, and we go into this from the standpoint of wanting to learn. So are you going to be that grown-up that then is helping your inner child by loving him or her? Or are you going to be the middle one, the ego, which is essentially an older sibling, that is saying, I'm going to protect my child. I'm going to protect this younger sibling of mine and make sure she or he never gets hurt. But if we do that, we're still inside the illusion. So the ego desire to protect, to defend, to hate, to watch out for being tricked or whatever, that's actually immature solution. It's not a real solution. It's not in alignment with the universal law. It is a part of us that is still within the illusion. So it's like the child got hurt within the illusion, and then the older sibling, the ego, is trying to protect the child, fully believing the illusion. The higher self part of us is outside of the illusion. It knows that all of this is not real. That's the only part of us that can truly love us. So when we're talking about being committed to self-love, we're not talking about protecting, defending, or all that ego stuff that we think means loving. Because that's when we end up giving the child way too much freedom and actually acquiescing to incorrect desires and not parenting correctly, because older siblings are not meant to be parents. So the grown-up part of us, the parent that's actually meant to parent the lower self child, is outside of the simulation. It's the part of us that is conscious, not inside completely. It's sort of like one foot in, one foot out. It has access to the outside. Of course, it also is on the inside because that's a wise part of us within this lifetime. But higher self component is sort of inside a simulation and outside having access to the soul wisdom and the knowledge. So it knows that this is not real. So commitment to self-love, no matter what, means commitment to being your higher self, no matter what happens, no matter what your child is experiencing, and then help her or him from that standpoint, not by defending or fighting or protecting. Okay? So I'll leave you with that. That's your lesson for this month.